You study the book of Colossians. You turn to the teaching material, page 7. Colossians. Last night we studied chapter 1 of Colossians. The main theme of Colossians focus on the head of the body, which is Jesus Christ. Ephesians focus on the body, which is the church. And the reason Paul wrote the book of Colossians was to defend the faith, because at that time he was in the last stage of his life. The church already have heresy. And heresy was like a yeast spreading around, confused the members, and caused their downfall of their faith. So Paul wrote this letter, tried to clarify the right doctrine, and in order they can keep the sound faith. The beginning, we did mention, he was very thankful that the church member in Colossae have faith, have love, and have hope. But it's good, but not good enough. Besides faith, hope, and love, one thing even more important is to fully understand God's will. So no matter what we do, we can go according to God's will. And in order to know the God's will, so we need to have a spiritual wisdom and understanding. So in our religious pursuit, it doesn't mean you don't need to have understanding. It doesn't mean you don't have wisdom. No. Our religious pursuit, even we emphasize on faith. Faith doesn't mean reject your ration. But what we are talking about is a spiritual wisdom and spiritual understanding. When we add spiritual, which means it's different from a worldly wisdom, it's different from a worldly understanding. Actually, the worldly understanding and wisdom cannot understand God's business. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, when people commit sin, the relation between God and man been cut off. So people already lose the ability to understand God. So no matter how smart a person is, how well educated, if God does not reveal himself to the person, no matter how hard you try to search after God, our effort will be in vain. Why? Because according to the book of Galatians, Paul say, Jesus Christ revealed himself to me. Also in the book of Bible, we know that understand God coming from the revelation of God himself. If God tried to hide himself, you have no way to understand him. Just like an adult playing the game of hide and seek, right? The small children, right? Their mindset is so simple. They don't know the adult hiding in where. But to the adult, they know every movement of the small kids. The same thing. We are so tiny, like a dust. Our wisdom, compared with God's wisdom, is nothing. So it's so difficult for us to understand God. And when God wants to reveal himself, he gives us a little bit wisdom, only a little bit wisdom, then you can understand him. So the wisdom of understand God is coming from God himself. So if we want to understand God, you have to go through God's way to understand Him. If we don't go through God's way, you use a human way, try to understand God, there's no way you can understand Him. So that is the reason we need to have spiritual wisdom and spiritual understanding. Or not because you have a PhD degree, so you understand the Bible more than any other else. No, it's not in that way. Not because you are well-educated, you know the Bible more than anybody else. No, this is something spiritual. And where come the spiritual wisdom and understanding? Coming from Holy Spirit. Now we look into the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11. Verse 1. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and the branch shall grow out of his root. Verse 2, this is the essential verse. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, referring to Jesus Christ, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. So Holy Spirit is the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. And Holy Spirit is the Spirit of counsel and might. And Holy Spirit is the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. The first sentence, the second sentence is more important. The spirit of wisdom and understanding. So once we pray and been filled by the Holy Spirit, it's very easy for us to understand the words of God. It is not because we are smart. It is because Holy Spirit bestowed us spiritual wisdom to understand Him. So that was the prayer of Paul. Pray that through the Holy Spirit, they can have spiritual wisdom and understanding so they can fully understand God's will. Now, yesterday we mentioned about at least there are four important benefits if we fully understand God's will and practice according to God's will. What was the first one? Verse 10. Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. That you may walk worthy of the Lord. Walk worthy of the Lord. You know, this is an individual society. You do your business, I do my own business. Your business has nothing to do with me. My business has nothing to do with you. So, everybody responsible for themselves. Then once you die, your name been erased. Then you are gradually been forgotten from the history. Nobody remember us anymore. So this is the reality of this society. But from the spiritual perspective, it is not that way. According to the Bible, whatever we do, whatever we say, all has been recorded by God. So God has a very powerful recording machine. Record your words, record your deeds, record your private life, record your thinking. Everything. Then, in the last day of judgment, God will give you opportunity to defend yourself. In certain days, certain time, why did you do this? Right? Then, there will be final judgment. So, everything, God will hold us accountable to everything. Accountable to everything. Of course. Before you receive the baptism, all the sin been washed away, right? And after our baptism, if you commit sin, you repent, God forgive your sin, right? But remember, one day if I say I don't believe in God anymore, all the sin will come back, right? All the sin will come back. Why? Because Jesus Christ cover our shame, just like Adam, right? How come Adam was able later on to meet God? Because God created a cross, and the cross was made by the skin of animal. Right? Originally, Adam wore a cross made of what? The leaf of a tree. Can you wear that kind of cross? The leaf of the tree, right? The newly made cross probably very good, right? Once you go to the shopping mall, very hot, and the leaf withered, dry up, then what happened? All your shame come out. Right? So it's impossible. Oh. So that cross was made of animal skin. Means have to shed the blood. That prefiguration, Jesus Christ cover our sin. But if you take away Jesus Christ, then what? All your sin come back. All your sin come back. Right? Oh. So, God will hold everyone accountable. We have to remember this. Oh. So that is the reason in chapter 1, verse 10, say, if we understand God's will and do it accordingly, we will walk worthy of the law. What does that mean, worthy of the law? The most vivid example is recorded in Daniel. Daniel, there was a king, right? While he was using the temple, the vessel, utensil of the temple, he routed from Jerusalem and to have a banquet, right? While they were having a banquet, all of a sudden, there was only a finger without body, only a finger. Wrote the character in the wall. Today, if you are having meal in the dinner, all of a sudden, there was a finger writing. You were scared to death. Only finger, right? Oh. So, who was the king? Do you remember in the book of Daniel? Who was the king? During the banquet, there was a finger wrote the character in the wall. Huh? I only know the Chinese translation, Bosasawang. Bosasha, right? Oh, okay. Right. And what was the character means? Can you look into the book of Daniel? Which chapter? Then which verse? Huh? 25. Okay, especially 27. Anybody read it? Daniel, chapter 5, 27. Okay. Take care. You have been weighed in the balance and found wanting. So in front of God, there's a balance. One side, put on the salvation you received from Jesus Christ. And then the salvation purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's so precious. On the other side is your life, your private life. Wanting means what? The balance. Oh, what? One side is up, one side is down. Oh, so the weight is different. Oh, that means wanting. Oh, if we live according to God's will, and the balance just the needle just point in the in the middle, that means your life is. Have weight, carry weight, your life carry weight in the eyes of God. But if we deep, not deep according to God's will, right? The side put on our life will be up, means no weight at all. That means we are in wanting. Oh. So every day, including your private life, there will be a scale to weight. The value of your private life. Oh. So the first one, first benefit, they come back to Colossians, right? You shall live a life worthy of the Lord. Means very valuable. As value as God's salvation. Oh, this is the first benefit. So in the future, how will God decide how much glory you are going to receive? This is one of the reasons. Because we fully live according to God's will. So we are fully pleasing God. And that will determine how much glory we receive from Him. Right. So in the future, God will determine your value not because what school you are graduating. It's because after you receive good education, how much have you used this tool to serve God? When God wants to have a final judgment, God is not going to see what kind of car you are driving. God is going to see what? Inside the car, how many truth seekers you drive to church? Right? That's more important, what kind of car you are driving. God is not care about how many bedroom mansion you live. God care about, do you use your living, your room for the purpose of serving God. That is God's will. God don't care about how much money in your bank, right? God care about out of how much money you really use in loving God and loving man. And that will determine whether your life carry weight or not. So in the final judgment, you are going to see God's judgment is so beyond your understanding from the worldly perspective. So we have to be fully understand God's will. Our life can be worthy of the Lord. The second one, fully pleasing Him. So God is the biggest boss. Right? We always think about why you don't have to worry about whether you lose job or not. Why? Because on top of your boss, there is another boss. Who? It's God. Of course, you have to do your best, fulfill your duty. After you do your best, fulfill your duty, you don't have to worry. If this boss fire you because this boss allow it happen. God allow it happen. If God allow it happen, God will arrange another job for you during the time of interview, right? The company, top of the company, have one more boss. It's God Himself. So you look into the book of Joshua. What the Bible say? God told Joshua, I have given, all right, complete tense. I have given this piece of land to you. Oh, complete tense. I already give to you. But Joshua still had to fight. But the reason Joshua was able to conquer the land, because God already given the land to him. So God hold that the final decision, final say is God. If God say, I don't want to give to you, even Joshua fight to death, he will not able to conquer the promised land. So today the same. If God say, I give you the job, complete tense, then you have to do your procedure, do your own part, and the job will belong to you. So if you fully pleasing the biggest boss, what are you worried about? You have nothing to worry about in your life. So, how can you please Him? Seeking His kingdom and His righteousness means His will. So, if everything you understand God's will, God will be so pleased to you. And you have no worry. So, this is the second point. Fully pleasing Him. The third one, being fruitful in every good works. Being fruitful in every good works. Fruitful means what? You bear the fruit. Somebody can see it. Somebody can enjoy it. That's been called being fruitful. In every good works. So if we really live a life according to God's will, you are going to have very tangible action in very tangible lifestyle, many people can be benefited. For example, if I have money, actually I have no money, just if I have money. I can spend money according to all my ways. Buy a luxurious car and go a luxurious vacation and buy a big house and I pay the mortgage every month. My bank balance is zero. I can live that kind of life. But in terms of what? Being fruitful of every good works, I have zero. Even I have money. My fruit is zero. So even if you have money, right? If you want to use the money, you have to think about what is God's will. What is God's will? If you think about this way, you are going to live a very frugal life, and you save the money. And you save the money what? Loving God and loving man. Also, sometimes you see the members, even though they are not very rich, in the 1980s, every time when we go to Africa, always have some members. I give money. One day, at that time I live in Monterey Park, two of the youth, I think they just newly employed. Two of the youth ring my bell and give me, I think, $3,000. Also, this is for the Ministry of Africa. I'm very, very touched. I'm very touched not because of money, but because the youth, how to know how to use the money meaningful. Use the money to bear the fruit in the good works, supporting the ministry in Africa. The time is the same. Right? The time is the same. Everybody say busy. Right? So nowadays, everyone drives the car very fast. Right? Why? You are in a hurry to go home. And then, it's an instant noodle. And then you go to the instant food, McDonald's. Everything is fast, fast, and fast. And you use everything fast, you have so much time for what? Play the TV, play the online game for whole night. Right. You save so much time and you have fun all the night for your own self. That is not the right way to live according to God's will. If you want to live according to God's will, you ask God, what should I use my time wisely? Not like a worldly people. So your time can bear fruit. It's so wonderful. Hey. This is only two of the examples. So fully pleasing Him, bear fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. How can you increase the knowledge of God? We already mentioned, right? The reason we can know God is because God revealed Himself to us. Yes, we should do our best to pursue after Him, but the key is God revealed Himself to us. This is the key. If God really pleases you, we are really pleasing God, and God is waiting to reveal Himself more to us, then what? Your understanding of God will be very deep, and deeper and deeper. We always, being a full-time minister, we always have this kind of experience, right? You keep on thinking about tomorrow, what kind of sermon I'm going to speak. You sit there for prepared hours. Sometimes you cannot find out what kind of topic. When we try to rely ourselves to prepare some sermon, sometimes you find it so hard. Then you humble yourself, sometimes sit there and keep on meditating, God, what do you want me to speak? Right? Or you kneel down and pray, God, what is the message you want to deliver? When you respect Him as God, you humbly ask Him, I'm only your instrument. What kind of message the congregation needs? When you change that kind of position, right? So humble and ask for guidance of God, all of a sudden you find out a lot of thinking is coming. A lot of idea is coming. So, if we do God's will, pleasing Him, then we will increase the knowledge of God. Beside this, verse 11, strengthen with all might, according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, So why Paul had to pray verse 11? Besides understand God's will, and you have to pray that strengthen them with all might, according to your glorious power. When you know God's will, it's just like what? GPS, pointed direction. If you come that direction, and that destination from here to there, but what? You have no power to walk there. Then even you know the right way, you cannot walk so long, still you cannot reach there, right? Once you know the destination, you need to have strength to continue your journey to go there. For example, every church member knows Sabbath we have to come to church. But not every church member really come to the church Sabbath. Why? Because you come to the church, not only you need physical strength, but you also need spiritual strength. Oh. Some people, physically, they are very strong. When they say, we go to Las Vegas, they can go there and come back in the same day. But when you say, we come to church, I'm very tired. Oh, right. Because the person lacks spiritual power. So you come to church, not only physical power, you need spiritual power. The same thing, when you do God's will, you need spiritual power. So when we pray for others, so please, let them understand God's will. We have to add one more thing. Please strengthen them, empower them, so they can walk according to your will. So that's the reason, verse 11, strengthen them with all might, according to his glorious power, so that they can be patient, and they can be long-suffering with joy. With power, you have patience, suffering, and joy. So this is chapter 1. Now, we come to the Colossians, chapter 1, verse 15 onwards. Chapter 1, verse 12 to 13, be thankful for being partaker of the inheritance. So actually, Paul has two things to be thankful. The first thing thankful is they have faith, hope, and love. The second thing thankful is they were able to be the partaker of the inheritance in heaven. Now, chapter 1, verse 15 to 29. In order to understand God's will, we have to understand Jesus Christ. Why? In order to understand God's will, we have to understand Jesus Christ. We have to know Jesus Christ. Why? This is exactly from verse 15 to 29 is talking about. If we know Jesus Christ, we will be able to fully understand God's will. Let's see one verse, then we come back to chapter 1. Chapter 2, verse 9. For in him dwell all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In him referring to what? In Jesus Christ. Dwell all the fullness of Godhead bodily. The fullness of Godhead means the divinity, the deity of God, fully abide in Jesus Christ. So no wonder Jesus Christ say, if you know me, you know God. Right? God is in me, I am in God. I and God are one. For the Jews, what are you talking about? Wow. They cannot understand. So they try to stone Jesus. Why? Because they consider Jesus Christ blasphemy. How can we see you, then we see God? Right? You are nothing but, what, 30-some years old. Your father is a carpenter. You are not good educated, not well educated. How come you say, you see me, you see God, you know me, you know God? So they can't understand it. Oh. But right now we understand it, right? Jesus Christ is the manifestation of God Himself. Oh. God become human being. Oh. So the human, in the human history, there is only one person. So unique. He is human being and He is God Himself. And this one is Jesus Christ. Oh. He is God, but He is also human being like you and me. Oh. So no wonder chapter 1 talk about understand God's will, and then from verse 15 to 22 talk about we have to understand Jesus Christ. This is the first reason. Because understand Jesus Christ means understand God. If you want to understand God, you have to understand Jesus Christ first. If you worship Jesus Christ, you worship God. If you know Jesus, you know God. So anyone who believes there is God and don't worship Jesus Christ actually is the one who cannot really worship the heavenly God. Why? Because Jesus said, I am the way. Right? He is the only one way. Apart from me, there is no other name rely on which you can be saved. There is only one way, only one name can lead you back to heaven, can lead you back to God, and that's Jesus Christ. Do you know why? Why only Jesus Christ is the way lead us back to God? Why? Anybody know it? Why only Jesus Christ lead us back to God? Because He's God? Okay. Let's think about between man and God, what is the barrier between man and God? Sin. Only Jesus Christ can remove our sin. So that is the reason only Jesus is the only one way can lead us, bring us back to God. Right? So verse 15 to 22 is talk about Jesus Christ. The second reason why he talk about Jesus Christ, because in the later part of chapter 2, talk about how to defend the faith. How to defend the faith. If you want to defend the faith, you should know what is right and what is wrong. Without knowing what is right and what is wrong, how can you defend the faith? Right? So in the world, in the world, is there anything absolute? In the world, is there anything absolute? Next one. Let me ask you, it's better. Jeremy, in the world, is there anything absolute? Nothing. Next one. In the world, is there anything absolute? Margaret. No? Are you sure? Absolute means what? Will never change. Next one. Esther. No? Last one. Next one. In the world, is there anything absolute? No? If no, then what? Why you are here? In the world, there's only one thing absolute. Never change. What it is? God Himself. Beside God, everything is relative. So no wonder, no wonder people in the world cannot discern what is right and what is wrong. Because nothing absolute. If majority feel right, then it's right. If majority feel wrong, then it's wrong. Right? So right now, in America, the one who make a right and wrong decision is what? Supreme Court. And 50 years ago, Supreme Court considered what? Abortion is wrong. It's right. It's wrong, right? Right now, abortion is right. Right? So it's changing. Nothing is absolute. But when we come to the teaching of the Bible, God is absolute. Oh. So what is right? If God thinks it's right, then it's right. What is wrong? If God thinks it's wrong, then it's wrong. And Jesus is God himself. Whatever Jesus Christ considers right, then it's right. Whatever Jesus considers wrong, is wrong. So as a Christian, the way we discern right or wrong is not because your education background. It's not because of your ethnic cultural background. It's not because your personal preference. No. As a Christian, we discern what is right, what is wrong, is because of what? Your understanding about the mind of Jesus Christ. You understand the mind of Jesus Christ. So you are able to discern what is right and what is wrong. Okay? So, chapter 5, verse 115 onwards, is talk about the preeminence of Christ. First one, A, the honor of Christ. Jesus Christ is honorable from verse 15 to 19. He is the creator of the world. Now, let us read verse 15, chapter 1, verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. He is the image of the invisible God. Invisible. God is invisible. Right? And he is the image, because the invisible God become human being. So he become it become an image. Verse 16. For by him all things were created. That are in heaven and that are on earth. Visible or invisible. Visible means material world. Invisible means spiritual world. Whether thrones or dominion or principle or power, all things were created through him and for him. Look, all things were created. Who can recite Genesis chapter 1, verse 1? Too late. Who can recite it? Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. You cannot recite it. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. You cannot recite it. Who can recite it? In the beginning. And what? God created the universe. And this sentence already separates the universe into two parts. What are the two parts? The creator and the creature. So beside God himself, everything is been created. So the only one self-existent is God himself. Remember, the only one self-existent is God himself. There is no second self-existence. Because in the beginning, God created the universe. And the same with chapter 1, verse 16, we just read. All things were created through him and for him. So if anybody proclaim there are second being, self-existence, then this is different from the teaching of the Bible. And this belief has no biblical base. So when we talk about the defense of the faith, we have to dig the Bible in depth. And God give us the wisdom to understand it, use the Bible to interpret the Bible, not through the theological or philosophical deduction or reduction. No, that is not the right way we understand the Bible. Now, from the philosophical deduction or reduction, come from the Bible, teaching of the Bible. Oh. Okay, now verse 17. So 16 talk about visible and invisible, right? It talk about the spiritual realm. 17. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. He is before all things, which means what? Before the creation, there is only God himself alone. Remember, before the creation, there is only God alone. Beside God, there is nothing more else. This is the teaching of the Bible. You ask a good question. Where does Satan come from? Did the Bible say where does Satan come from? From the Bible, we can see there are spirits who sin against God, right? And that you can call that the beginning of Satan, right? But from the Bible, there is no second self-existence. That's what we can say. Yeah. Oh. And what is more important is there's no point, right? If what the Bible wants us to know, they will record in the Bible. If whatever is not recorded in the Bible, that means even we don't know it. It's fine. Because if God wants us to know it, God will record in the Bible. Oh. So there is no point we try to study the topic of where comes the Satan. If God wants us to know it, they will record in the Bible. If there is no in the Bible, we don't have to think about it. But what more careful is we have to think about how Satan tried to entice us. We have to think about how to defend the attack of Satan. So the self-existence of Satan, that's not come from the Bible. There's no point. You cannot even find one verse. So we don't have to use so much time to think about where comes the Satan. And spend more time be aware about what the work of Satan, how to defend against the work of Satan. So God is the only one self-existence. Now, we come to next one. Chapter 1, verse 18 to 19. 18 to 19, he is the head of the church. Jesus is the creator of the universe. And Jesus Christ is the head of the church. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. The firstborn from the dead means he died and resurrected, that in all things he may have the preeminence. So in all things he is in the position of head. And verse 19, for it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness shall dwell. So all the fullness of the Godhead, of divine nature, fully abide in Jesus Christ. And verse 20. Verse 20 to 23 is talk about the grace of Jesus towards us. And by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. So through the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, the salvation become available. So through his blood, our sin can be washed away, so we can reconcile ourselves with God. So that's verse 20. It's talk about the grace of God towards us. 21. And you who once were alienated and enemy in your mind by wicked words, now he has reconciled us. So before we know Jesus Christ, actually we live in a wicked way. We committed a lot of sin. Now through Jesus Christ, we reconcile with him and we receive from him very precious status. According to 1 Peter, right? We are the holy nation. We are the royal priesthood. We are the chosen people. So as a Christian, we should not always feel pitiful about ourselves. No. Because we have glorious status. Chosen people. Royal priesthood. Right? Holy nation. Very precious status. 22. And in the body and his flesh, through death, present you holy and blameless and above the reproach in his sight. So what does that mean? In the Bible, they call those who receive salvation saint. S-A-I-N-T. Saint. And then you think about, did I commit a lot of sin? How can I qualify to become saint? Right? We are qualified to become saint, not because we have no sin, but because Jesus Christ canceled all our sin, wash away our sins. Now, so we have the status like a saint, the holy people, sin being forgiven. And 23. If indeed you continue in faith, grounded, steadfast, and were not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, which I, Paul, become a minister. So why Paul become a minister? Why Paul become a minister? He became a minister because he wanted to proclaim the gospel, the good message, so that everyone under heaven can be saved, sin can be forgiven, can reconcile themselves with God, and can receive the noble status. So this is the ministry of the gospel. About 2 weeks ago, one of the sisters asked me, have you ever regret you become a full-time minister? I asked her, why you ask us the question? Do you look at me feel I'm very pitiful? From the day one until now, I have never even one day regret I become a full-time minister. Every time I think about I can become a full-time minister, I always so thankful. Sometimes I shed tears. Even though my life is very simple. So sometimes I feel very thankful. Do you know? When I visit the church member, some of them drive fancy cars, some of them live in a $1 million house. I'm very thankful for them. They really receive blessing of God. But I'm very thankful to God by myself. Why? Because I never envy that kind of stuff. I'm very thankful. I'm very joyful about who I am and my life. Thank God. So God, but Paul have understand that serving God is so precious. right? The status is so precious. The work is so precious. So he treasured this kind of status, try his best to preach the gospel. So this is the grace of God. Give us salvation, reconciliation through Jesus Christ. So we hope that the Holy Spirit can move some of you. One day, you're really touched by God. You know that to work for God, sometimes it's not through the encouragement of people, any worker. I try. When I try to encourage some people to participate in holy work, then I find out, later on, anytime I approach that person just run away. He keep on encouraging, and give him a lot of pressure. He look at you and he run away. When a person is not motivated, you only encourage him and put a lot of burden on them. But when God inspires you, I remember when I was in high school, second year, third year, or in college, every time I sit there and think about serving God, I shed tears. I riding the bicycle and I start to shed tears. So when the Holy Spirit moves you, you have no choice. You know this is the right way to go. And this is the most meaningful way to go. And you will not feel pitiful. Because God wants to use me, I feel very pitiful. I cannot pursue the world. We feel so precious. You feel so precious. Why God choose me? Why God consider me worthy to serve Him? You feel so precious. Either this way or that way, you are going to live your whole life. Right? I'm very thankful. I can use my best part to serve God. Right? You should not wait until the time you retirement, just like one member almost reached to 65 and ask me a question. If church have some full-time position, I'm going to dedicate myself to work for God. No way. You already have no market value and you come out and want to serve God. You want to serve God as a full-time, that's fine. But if you want to looking for a full-time job, no. You use the best part to exchange high income. And when you nearly lose your job, you come to dedicate yourself to God. What are you thinking about the church ministry? Right? Also, when you want to serve God now, while you are very precious, like an oxen, very young, very powerful, very energetic, very clear-minded, you serve God. That's the most precious. Not until you have no market value, you come out, that's too late. Volunteer, welcome, thank God. But for the full-time ministry, no. Because you already give your best part to the world. So Jesus Christ come to serve God in the age of what? 30 years old, right? 30 consider what? Mature, the best one. So after you college graduate, 22 of you study, graduates do study 24 and experience 2-3 years, and then TDP another 4 years, is almost 30. That's the best. Right. So we hope and we pray we need more youth. Really, God move you. And how can God move you? You pray. You become praying. Right. Pray until you're filled by the Holy Spirit. God move you. And your heart will be attracted by God. Automatically, like a GPS. Every time you think, then your heart is focused on God. Every time you think, your heart is focused on God. Because you are filled by the Holy Spirit. So in these few days, we still have a few days to go, right? Refocus your mind. God, I want to pursue after Him in the next few days. So chapter 1, verse 24 to 27. No, 20 to 23, the grace in Jesus Christ. Tomorrow, if you look into the schedule, original afternoon is A8 class, and Friday afternoon there's a D6 class. So because Friday afternoon I have to go back to Garden Grove, so D6 will swap with A8. So tomorrow afternoon we are going to continue to study the book of Colossians. Yeah. Then we are going to start from verse 28 to 29. Let's pray inside.